The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
New college football conferences. Boo! New high school football conferences. Yay! Coming up on the emerging podcast scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Did you know Tony Sirico said he'd do anything to be in Sopranos except be a rat?
I mean, that's probably the quickest we got into it.
My goal is to find a way to do it every single show. To make you guys hate me for it and then hate Sopranos for it. And then the job will be done.
It's just going to result in me watching it again.
Would also be a great goal.
I've said it before. I always have a buffer. I always try to buffer. Godfather 2. I am on a hiatus again. I'm trying to make it like 2 or 3 years before I watch it again. Because
do you have Paramount Plus?
I do.
Because it's on it.
Well, earlier in my in my life, I had to go back. I had to revisit. I had to think about why I liked it so much. Then I'd go to a blog, or then I'd go to a YouTube video. Like, well, now I got to go watch it. And I realized it was ruining the greatness of the shows and my love for the shows.
That's true.
Because I watch it too much. So I just allow a little buffer.
I think that's a great point. Like, my favorite television show of all time is Trailer Park Boys. And I understand to some people it's just nothing to them. You know, it's raunchy. It is very raunchy. But I have to give myself a bit of a buffer because the words don't hit, the absurdity of it doesn't hit, things like that. You have to give it a little bit of time. So I get what you're saying.
Real quick about I know we got big stuff to get to. We're going to be talking conference realignment, why I don't care about it, but why I still want to talk about it. What could be happening, conference realignment in high school sports, because I was just basically condescended to by Andy Baskin.
I have to get that pulled up, by the way. Go ahead.
What is the show, Owen, with Jason Bateman, the comedy show?
From Arrested Development.
So
that's it.
Silver Spoons.
It's not that one. It's Arrested Development. So it had been many years since I had seen the first episode of Arrested Development. But I'm seeing once again, because of the way the streamers are repopulating shows, that's coming up again. And I'm noticing a bunch of people are watching it for the first time. So I'm like, you know what? I'm at a different stage of my life. 43, two kids, wife and a house. The last time I tried to watch that show, I had none of that stuff. Let's see if my sensibilities have changed. Let's watch an episode. So I had a little, I think they're half-hour episodes, and then commercials, it's like 20-something. So I go and watch it.
You could churn right through, man.
And I watched the first episode, and I was like, oh, it's kind of funny. This is funny. Okay, I like that running gag. That's good. And I'm like, all right, maybe I'll watch a second episode. Waited a couple days, watched the second episode. And then you see what's ahead of you. You see the catalog, and I'm like,
and you jump out.
Do I want to do this? I do think the show's funny. The premise is funny. The people involved in the show are now even more famous than they were then.
Yeah.
And I stepped away. And it brings me to this central question, because you just brought up Trailer Park Boys. And people have brought up The League. And people have brought up Parks and Rec, and is there's a thousand.
I'm still not ready to go back to Parks and Rec.
Guys, there's a thousand of these. They're all funny. 30 Rock. They're all good. Like, there's good comedy writers. There's guys that are great comedy writers that have been involved in all these shows over the years. But I come back to this. Will they ever be as perfect to me as Seinfeld? Will they ever be as perfect to me as Curb Your Enthusiasm, which isn't supposed to be a perfect show? It's supposed to be rough around the edges. Find them to be, a lot of those shows are perfect. Even the bad ones, even the ones that kind of fall apart, I'm like, this was still better to me than any of that stuff. It's not that it's not funny. It's not that it doesn't have value. Do I want to go out of my way to bring that much more content in my life when I have less free time to absorb any of that?
Boy, that's a deep question. You will eventually. I recently went back through Coach. I got Roku channel, And Coach was
It was filmed before a live studio audience.
Live studio audience. I went back through Coach, and I mean, there are times where I'm like, man, this is 90s sitcom here. And so there's some things that you and I both steer towards awkward, but there's some things I'm like, man, this is like the stuff Luther does. But there are certain scenes, I can't even describe it. Like, I'm just like, this is really funny.
It was.
Craig T. Nelson, this is just incredible. This is really funny network sitcom stuff right here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, now I kind of want to go back and watch it.
It's great.
We have brought up Frasier.
Howard Burley and the Christmas Carolers following him around for an episode is hilarious. It's hilarious.
Frasier. Frasier was the one that won all the awards. And I know it's not for everybody.
Probably best spinoff ever.
But the writing in it is incredible. It's great comedy writing, and it's smart and whatever. It's just so much out there that I don't have time for it all. And then it brings me to my next segue, which is there's so many shows on all of the streamers, because now I'm watching this Jake Gyllenhaal show, Presumed Innocent or Presumed Guilty, whatever it's called. Okay. And that's on Apple. And now I'm seeing a whole nother world. Apple has 55 shows. I'm sure they're all okay. So I'm just basically letting the public tell me what to watch. If the public is all in on a show, I'm going to go watch it. Like when Squid Game came out, the public was in. They were all in. I watched it. I was obsessed. I couldn't believe this was being produced. And this was a subtitled show, and not even subtitled. It was dubbed in English, and that did not, even though it's annoying, totally annoying. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that stuff's not annoying.
I never saw a second of Squid Game.
Kenny, there's no way you wouldn't be infatuated with it. Because you're dark.
I am dark.
There is comedy in it.
I do like to laugh.
But holy cow, the stuff they're doing, you're like, and I guess this was a script that had been around for 20-some years. Mm-hmm. They couldn't believe that somebody finally bought it, and then it got made. And I'm so excited to watch Squid Game 2 now and get into this world to where now you could probably have prequels or you could have versions 50 years later. I'm in. I'm in on the whole galaxy. I'm in on it. But I have to have the public tell me what to watch. I'm not going to be at the forefront of any show going forward. You have to tell me what's good. And if there's a consensus or if it's controversial and people can't believe the edge or if it's treading new ground, any of that, I'm in on it. That's how I'll get into something.
I get the things years after they happen, and I notice I'm already going to do it next Friday. College Football 25 comes out next Friday, and my son's going to buy it with his money that he's earned and his birthday money. He's going to buy it. He's going to play it on his PS5, and I'm just not going to play it yet.
You think you can lay off it? You honestly think you'll see him play it and go, no.
Wait 9 years?
I'm not going to wait 9 years, but I'm gonna wait. And I don't know why I'm going to wait. I just can't do it. Like the same thing I thought of, Ted Lasso. You know? Everybody loves Ted Lasso. I haven't seen it yet.
I gave it five.
And I'll get around to it when episodes. I want to. Why you didn't like it? That's a controversial thing to say, buddy.
I appreciated it for what it was.
Owen's about to hit you.
Had not a ton of desire to get back to it.
Wow.
I'm not like you, Ken.
Oh.
It was fine.
I hit everyone.
I wasn't saying it was bad.
Look at Anthony and see Harold Reynolds. And
I don't want to hit Harold Reynolds. Oh. I think Harold Reynolds probably beat me up.
I hope he does.
How old is he? 64?
63. He'll be 64 by the time he whoops your ass.
Yes.
There's 63-year-old men who beat
us. Especially today.
Yeah.
But no, I think.
Not back in the old days.
You're right. I appreciated there wasn't much on whenever I watched it. And then by the last season, it became a thing that me and my wife did, and she was much more into it than I was. Okay. And I had to do the, this is great.
Righteous Gemstones, 3 years in, I finally got into
Kenny,
it.
Kenny, I like it, but again, this happened when we had Izzy. Right before we had Izzy,
you get busy.
I saw like five episodes.
Busy Izzy.
And then I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I literally forgot about it.
Yeah.
That first season feels like two different seasons, too, so it messes with you.
We go through a bunch of Liz and I go through the phases of it. And it goes this way with comedy. Succession, we were there. We were obsessed. Mad Men, we've done deep dives. And I'll finish with this because we got to get some big things in here. But with comedy, one, I don't laugh at the same stuff she laughs at. We've discussed that. Second of all, and she thinks I'm like broken. No, I don't have
comedy.
I won't
be watching any comedy with Sarah. That's never going to happen.
No. But this is funny. But she does look at her phone a lot during the show. I like it. But we go through phases. Like last, we were watching it, cooking along. We had the Stefanski benefit last month, and Sam died. And all of a sudden, I go, it's been a month. And before that, because we started watching it again, and then we went on vacation. And then it was a month, and we started watching it again. And then, you know, we had that, and now we just watched it again this last weekend. The dramas, we cook right through, man. We just pound away at it. But when it comes to comedy, sometimes you need a little bit of a break. So there's, do you want to do the high school conference thing first or the college conference?
The college
is probably easier for you to get to. So I had a big thing. I came in, I was all excited. Florida State, Clemson, trying to get out of the ACC. Courts aren't going to let them do it. We're brought to you by Extend. And then it was a thought they might go to the Big Ten. Big Ten's like, no room at the inn, and you're not AAU certified, American Association of Universities, which apparently is a big 200-year-old thing or whatever, and it's about high academia and things like that. SEC goes, kind of got this money set up the way we want to, where I think the Big Ten and the SEC, we're looking for excuses there because they don't want them to take a piece of the pie. You had your chance. You didn't get in. We're not going to do it. And what the ACC signed as a TV deal is a long-term, pretty prohibitive TV deal to get out of. I mean, you have to pay a boatload of money to get out of that deal. And I'm saying all these things to you, and Lima does not care.
Well, and
does not, didn't this morning, and doesn't now. And I will take it away, because I don't want to bore you down.
Yeah, I can tell you why. The first thing is, had this story have broken 7-8 years ago, it would have been the biggest bombshell ever, because we would have been sitting here going, wait a second, what does that mean?
Even 3 years ago.
Well, the dominoes that start to fall, and wait a second. Big Ten can get their content in Florida now and get the Big Ten network there. And what? South Carolina with Clemson,
yeah,
where they're not currently. That means more money for the conference. Now with the cable cutting, the cord cutting, doesn't really matter as much,
yeah,
right? It doesn't really matter, especially with the new TV deals and everything. The Big Ten already swallowed up all that money. So getting on in new states, that's not the priority that it once was. The second part of this, and why I'm probably not that interested, is because the Big Ten's not the Big Ten anymore.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is not the Big Ten. I just saw somebody joke around about how everybody's tied and 0-0 in the standings. And I looked and I said, this isn't the Big Ten. What? Look at the schools. These teams are not the Big Ten. And then, you know, you remember like Nebraska wasn't in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
They're still an oddball. Rutgers.
That was really when it started. Oddball.
So this conference is not the Big Ten to me, so it doesn't matter if tomorrow you told me, hey, Florida State's in the Big Ten now, too, and Clemson's in the SEC. Okay, yeah, we're just going to have super conferences. That's where we're heading. That's going to happen.
They need to get rid of the names. If they get rid of the names of the conferences.
Well, they're going to be sponsored, right?
Yeah, the All-State 12.
Which is fine. It's going to make it a lot easier for me. Like, yeah. I'm Big 12 Media Days, we're on the other day, and we got to hear Mike Gundy, and I'm excited. I go look for Big 12 Media Days. Oh, yeah, the team that I don't watch as much as I used to because I'm busy on the weekends now with my own children, but they're in the SEC now. That should have been a bigger deal for me, and it wasn't because I'm not used to, like, SEC Media Days is a big deal.
Yeah.
But it kind of put it away because it's not the same. It's not what it was. Like, to me, like, my kids will never understand that I hate Nebraska more than almost any other school. And now they're a nothing school now.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree.
We'll see what Raiola does.
We've absolutely gone over.
Where he goes to next?
Yeah, never mind. We've gone over the corpse how many times of, for me growing up, Midwest football, noon kickoffs.
Yeah.
That's what
you're
it
not
was.
Great at talking about nostalgia.
And the SEC. The SEC was there.
That's part of it.
The Big 8 turned into the Big 12.
Right.
And then we know about Pac-12 and After Dark and Pac-10.
Pac-10.
And then turning into the Pac-12, whatever. And every conference played the game a different way. The games look different. That's done.
Right.
That'll never be like that again. Yeah, Iowa's going to play like Iowa for the next 100 years. Wisconsin will play football like Wisconsin. But everybody else, it's all going to change.
But without the see, this is what I hate about it, though. Without the conference divisions in the conference, it makes it more difficult, Tone. Because, and I know it exposes you, because now I told you, like, they're talking about Luke Fickle being on the hot seat in 2026. Excuse me, 2025. Because you don't have the Big Ten West to pound on anymore and to prop you up and then get beat 59-0 against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, which I know that this is what they're trying to eliminate, is a team like Wisconsin getting boat raced by Ohio State. But it also, you know what, is there no room for people to dream a little bit?
There won't instead be. Instead of not this, because with this up, you'll never have an Iowa, like. Brad Banks in Iowa, and Mark May saying all year they're the best team in the country in 2002, and not Ohio State. Like. You'll never have that again.
There's no room for the takes. There's no room for the fun, and that's what college football is supposed to be. Since well before we were born, it was supposed to be, this team got screwed. This team's getting screwed. UCF, we're putting up, we're national champions. That's the fun of it.
Yep.
And I look at the Big Ten now. I just did this list. I know I'm looking at my phone, and sometimes when I'm not paying attention, I'm paying attention. Out of 18 teams in the Big Ten, they got 18, right?
Yep.
Six have a chance at some time. And you can really knock it down to four. You can really knock it down to three in some seasons. That's what you can do. Six teams out of 18. Two-thirds of the conference is getting paid to lose.
Right.
Two-thirds. I look at, and this is why I thought the FSU Clemson thing was big, okay? The SEC has how many teams? 16?
Yeah.
Who has a real shot? Alabama? Georgia, that's two. LSU, Brian Kelly.
I mean, yeah,
say LSU, three for argument's sake, right? Ole Miss will win some games, but no. Tennessee will win some games, but no. A&M will win some games where they always mess it up. Texas, oh, I guess if you want to put Oklahoma, you put four in there. Let's say five, just for argument's sake. That's 11 teams. Mizzou will have a look at something fun, but no. That's 11 teams that are getting paid to lose. When I hear that the Big 12, and Brett Yormark's got to do his job. I mean, did you see him, by the way, at Big 12 Media Days? No podium. He's out there. I mean, he looked like a televangelist out there preaching the gospel of the Big 12, which, great, by the way. He's doing exactly what he needs to do. Hell of a salesman. He knows exactly what the Pac-12 didn't do, and he's going to sell the hell out of the Big 12, or eventually the All-State 12 once they get that deal done. But this is college football, non-Ohio State fan Ken talking here. FSU Clemson. Now, my assumption would be that if FSU and Clemson, where Brett Yormark's like, we ain't stopping, we're going after everybody, and there's already overtures like, if you can get out of that conference, we will take you. You're leaving the ACC for the ACC, except they are more passionate about football. I'll grant them that. They're much more passionate about football, but they're a basketball conference. And so you're leaving the ACC for the ACC, and then you're just going to be up on the ACC, on the Big 12, it's the same thing. The ACC... I don't have passion for ACC football. There's Florida State that fills up the stadium, and even sometimes that has some empty sections. Clemson will fill it up. North Carolina State's an underrated place. Obviously, Vautech has Enter Sandman. But everyone else, like, you see a UVA game, it's something to go get drunk at. And it's high academia. It's the South Ivy League. I'll leave it here because I already see you checking your phone. All right? My enjoyment of college football lies within the Big 12, where I see a conference with, I believe, 16 teams now. I think eight can make an argument right now that they can win the Big 12. Eight of them. And the other teams that are, the other six teams that are there, say, if we do it right, we can win this conference in the next 3 years. Utah would be your voting favorite to win the Big 12, certainly.
Utah.
Arizona, whatever Jed Fish left over, not sure.
Think about what you just said. Utah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got...
It's just funny because Utah was never in the Big 12.
I mean, you look at this right now. Utah, TCU might have a chance at it. Oklahoma State, unless, you know, Gundy turns into 5-7, then I would use that as a reason to fire him. KU...
What, 5.7 on the breathalyzer?
KU, K-State...
Not the end of the...
KU, K-State, Arizona... And Iowa State, I use them at the end because they did get votes, so don't even start calling me a homer. Eight schools have a chance. The other ones are not, and by the way, the other ones aren't getting paid to lose. You will have a 9-3 conference champion here.
Now let me.
That's fun.
It is fun. I agree with everything you just said. Now here comes devil's advocate. Wouldn't you argue that it's never been in the Big Ten that eight teams can win? It's never been that way ever.
Well, I don't know. You had Darnell Autry and Northwestern 1 year go to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Now, that's rare. You had Juice Williams in Illinois 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's
rare.
It's rare. But you go back to where before we were born, who's going to the Rose Bowl? Ohio State or Michigan?
Yeah.
Every single year of the 60s and 70s.
What do you think, bro, quickly, what do you think happens to Penn State? What do you think Penn State in this landscape? By the way, huge renovation of their stadium.
I don't know. Penn State is a... I used to not like Penn State. I used to just be annoyed. I'm not really that way anymore. I would hate to be a Penn State fan. I would hate to be a dye-in-the-wool Penn State fan. I just think you're stuck. I think you're stuck between being a really good team and not having a realistic chance at a national championship.
They have great players.
You're stuck.
Every year at Penn
State. You're stuck.
At key positions. And they get great linebackers. They get great wide receivers at Penn State.
And they're losing their mind because you're in a position where you can't fire James Franklin. You can't. You'll want to, and Penn State fans might hear this and want to fire James Franklin. You can't. You beat the brakes off of everybody. You just lose to Ohio State and Michigan. Yeah. So, by the way, you'll be able to beat USC. I wonder if, by the way, do you think Lincoln Riley will be on the hot seat at the end of the year?
Isn't that amazing?
That defense still doesn't look good.
What is going on? I mean, they should be. I think we all had them. They just lost like three big recruits.
Uh-huh.
How is that possible? What USC had all the momentum in the world, and they had all the limelight, and then the Big Ten, and this was supposed to be their coronation. It's like we're talking more Oregon than talking about USC.
And there is the thought of, I'm going to get nitty gritty, so you're going to have to put the brakes on me here, Owen, Tone. They paid Lincoln Riley $100 million, $90 million? What was it? A lot of money. Almost $100 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Blood money, I don't even want to talk about it.
They are a private school. Good point, Owen. Owens grew up an Oklahoma fan, so there's skin in the game. They're a private school. They're not a state school. And remember, they are a school that will turn off the faucet at any time. They're weird. Remember the Mike Garrett stuff after Reggie Bush, the whole thing? They will turn the faucet off. And they turned it on for a second to get Lincoln Riley in, but are they going to turn the faucet on for the assistants? Because you still need assistants who can sell. And then you need people to be able to buy with NIL. Like, all of a sudden, the big story is Phil Knight. Phil Knight's 86 years old. You know what? I want to see a national championship. All systems go. We'll see if it works. But with USC, there's still that private school. We want to have our dignity. Okay, well, you can pay your head coach $100 million. Can an assistant, can a recruiter who's good at recruiting live in Los Angeles close enough to the stadium at $100,000? To us, $100,000 is great. To that, ain't nothing.
You know, Lincoln Riley.
Can you raise a family of four as an assistant on $100,000 where your wife can't work? You got to, I mean, they got to, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's tough to do.
You know, Lincoln Riley.
You're never home.
It's Cliff Kingsbury. Boom. Next topic.
Ohio High School Athletic Association.
All right. So, saw this the other day. And my outrage meter kicked in. I'm like, oh my God, people are going to be outraged about this. All these Catholic schools are getting together.
Can I quote tweet you on that, please?
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
All these Catholic schools have decided for scheduling purposes that, hey, scheduling has become tougher and tougher for us, especially in football, which of course we know matters more than just about everything. So we are all going to get together. Across the state? Is it down to Columbus or is it past Columbus?
It is. Here we go. This is the newly founded Ohio Catholic Athletic Conference. It broke earlier this week. There are eight teams in the conference. They are going to start playing football only, I believe, next year. It's going to be next year, so it's not in effect right now. It's Columbus, Bishop Hartley, Bishop Watterson, Youngstown, Cardinal Mooney. St. Francis de Sales is Toledo, isn't it? Okay. Toledo, St. Francis de Sales. Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary's, Youngstown, Ursuline, Cleveland, VASJ, Walsh Jesuit.
By the way, saw St. B's and Hoban are going to be renewing their rivalry.
Oh.
That came out today during the show.
They got a new coach. They had the one coach that used to be the alum. Yeah, go ahead.
St. Francis de Sales, what's
his
Columbus.
I can't remember his name.
Oh, it's Columbus, St. Francis. Okay, there's not a Toledo, St. Francis de Sales?
Oh, I was thinking of Toledo, St. John's. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
St. John's.
Columbus, St. Francis de Sales. Yeah. Thank you, guys. So, yeah, I thought there were three Columbus.
Have Central Catholic as well in Toledo. But that's that's a Toledo school.
So they got three Columbus schools, two Youngstown. Technically three Akron and a Cleveland, right? Mm-hmm. And people are going, this travel. Well, parochial schools that play at that level have always traveled. I don't think the travel is anything new to them, all right? Also, Matt Gould would be a great guest to have on about this because I remember I asked Matt Gould about the whole, you know, eight-game schedule, these open dates. And it's just becoming harder and harder to schedule because we are seeing with open enrollment the haves and the have-nots. And I've preached about this over the last couple of years, the haves and have-nots. Before, there were enough haves where everybody had a – there was a bunch of 6-4 seasons. You go to homecoming. Everything's nice. Seniors, wonderful time. Underclassmen, let's see if we can make it 7-3 next year. And then, obviously, there were your juggernauts. Now, open enrollment, everybody wants to be a juggernaut. Well, the ones that can't be a juggernaut, they are sucking up the room, and they can't pass levies, and we've gone down that road. Well, they've now joined conferences, okay, because they need to schedule, because it's harder and harder to schedule for some of the teams that are doing better. So they're joining conferences, there's more travel, they need to protect themselves, and so for Catholic schools who are independent, they're looking for a week 7. They can't find week 7 anymore.
Yeah.
They can't find week 8 anymore. Well, we need games. We're trying to get to 10 games. And some of these teams are looking at it, not Catholic schools. I mean, high school football in general. I don't need to – everybody makes the playoffs now. Do we need to play 10 games? We'll play 9.
Yeah, right. It's not as
– COVID was like, well, we can play 6, whatever. Like, they're not going to play 6 games.
So,
but
so, obviously, for football, once a week – that's the easiest to be able to do something like this and have every conference game be, you know, 2 hours down the road, okay? I immediately started thinking about girls volleyball, you know, the basketball schedules, soccer, cross-country meets. And I said this during the transition from our show to Baskin and Phelps, B&P, 10 to 2, Monday through Friday.
And talking heads, babe.
Andy Baskin went after me. He goes, you mean like we've done in hockey for 20 years? And I said, well, Baskin, that's not the same. There were so few hockey teams.
He was flippant.
He was, this is fine. You do it for scheduling purposes. You do it for competition purposes.
Well, they have different conferences in hockey.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
They aren't called, but, you know.
But so I guess my question is, if you're a parent and you're sending your kid, first of all, are you thinking twice about sending your kid who's an athlete to these great schools, especially the ones that have churned out a lot of opportunities post-high school, are you thinking twice about where you're sending your kid if it means that you, your family, and your kid, to support that, you're going to be on the road and you're going to be, especially midweek for those other teams when it eventually kicks in,
some maybe
you're going to be traveling like crazy.
Nope, because the ones who are willing to make that commitment have already played their travel sports. They are already conditioned.
So it's been normalized.
Yes. Yes.
They've
already conditioned themselves
to that sucks.
Lost weekends. They've already conditioned themselves to lost holidays. They've already conditioned themselves to right after school, right to the training facility. They've already conditioned themselves to that. And so it is the quest for competition for their kid. And everybody has the right to do that. You know where I stand on things where there's just a lot of that I roll my eyes on.
Yeah.
And they're going, my kid can go play at Hoban. My kid will travel. It doesn't matter. And I will go. They will make it work. We will find, because you find a way to make it, you find a way to make it work for your kid. So they're going to do that. And there's a lot of travel here. And it, for football, in our world, my world, you look more high school basketball. They're going to make this work for their kid. And you look at volleyball. How much are people paying for travel volleyball or club volleyball? How much are people paying for swimming? How much are people paying for all this stuff? It's like, I'm already in for whatever thousand. I might as well be in for it more. Can I get some grants? Can I get cross country? They'll do it. It doesn't matter to them. I mean, I'm not trying to turn into George Carlin here, but this is kind of what happens when you make your kids a hobby, is you're willing to do all these things. But at the same time, who doesn't want to do right by their kid? So if your kid has a real chance to do something, or you believe your kid has a real chance to, fine, knock it out.
But when did we get into the mindset?
And everybody has open enrollment now.
Yeah. When did we get to the mindset that competition, because all I hear is about, well, you want to step up your competition. Why does that have to be something 2.5 hours away? Why isn't there apt competition?
Because
our whole lives, there was enough competition in the
because
area.
Because the teams you used to play, their kids are traveling to your school to go to your school. Akron, Hoban, and St. V's used to be on the same playing level. Mm. No offense to St. V's. Maybe they'll get there again. You ain't close. The kids who used to go to St. V's instead of Hoban, they just all go to Hoban,
by the way.
Yeah, they just all go to Hoban. It's the same thing that happens in Stark County. Maslin and McKinley play each other, and for a couple of years, McKinley's getting better. McKinley didn't belong in the same field as Maslin. And what did Maslin do? They just got better. And so now, in my own backyard, and it sucks because, and I said this to you before, there are plenty of people who, again, fool themselves into thinking their kids are going to play at these places.
Of course.
A great football program like Maslin, let me underline it for the people who think I hate Maslin. A great powerhouse football program like Maslin. There are plenty of people who lie to themselves and say that their kid, where it's open enrollment, it's high school football, whatever, they will talk themselves into thinking their kid's going to play at Maslin, they're going to stand on the sidelines, when they could have played at North Canton, when they could have been on the field and played all four quarters at Canton South. Canton South just had a nice season, so maybe it's not applicable. They lie to themselves about that. You know, there's kids standing on the sidelines at Hoban, and they will stand on the sidelines all 4 years. Yeah. They might get to play some special teams. They'll play as sophomores at Woodridge. But it's not the level of competition for my son. My son won't get seen. Guys, it's 2024. Your son's going to get seen. But they do this because of scheduling, because I know you've gotten the text before. Ever since, I mean, you've covered this thing actually longer than I have. Every summer, every spring, I get texts from coaches. What do you know about this? Mm-hmm. This school just bailed on us. What do you know about this other school? What can you tell me about this other school? You know, this, that, and the other. Guys from Stark County text me. I'm not bragging about that type of thing. It's just because they're desperate. They need to schedule opponents. And
I've also never gotten
a bigger gap.
Never gotten so many texts during the playoffs in football and basketball from parents whose kids just lost to another team, and they're questioning the eligibility of the kids on that team and whether they should have even been allowed to play on that team.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there. I understand that this has evolved. And I'm starting to pay attention. Like, I'm in Bay Village, and somebody was like, oh, these programs are all travel now. And I'm like, why? There aren't enough kids.
I'll tell you why.
There aren't enough fourth graders in this area within 20 miles to just play within 20 miles. Oh, no. We have to go down to Ashland, and we have to go down to Toledo and to Cincinnati.
That's
it's like,
where you're,
what?
You're not hearing it all. I mean, there's different levels of that. I mean, we don't have time for that, but there's different. You're hearing one thing and thing, and it's the all-encompassing thing right now.
For some of us, for a lot of it, though, I look at it as almost the Disney vacation principle. When we went down to Disney, I told you I came to that realization. It's an expensive vacation. It's hot. Most people are paying for they're having the most expensive vacation of their lives, and they think they should be treated special for that. Okay. You realize you ain't special. Everybody's paying for it. Mm-hmm. But you don't realize it until it's too late. So you start cussing out some person who's a Disney main character, whatever they don't call them employees, who's a character down there. You start cussing somebody out and look like an idiot in front of me. Like when we first got off that tram and went to go put our tickets in, that guy was screaming at that person because you paid the most. So up to that point, I've paid X amount of dollars for my son to train at this place. I've paid X amount of dollars for my son to train at that place. I sent my son to these camps and that camp and this camp and that camp. And there are plenty of people who do a good job who try to actually help your kid. There's also plenty of people who are willing to just take your checks. And so then you feel entitled. I've paid all this. My son needs to play at Hoban. My son needs to play down at Maslin. My son needs to play here. My son needs to play there. You lie to yourself about it. You do. And some people say I'm totally full of bleep. You guys know damn well some of those parents who are like that. There are plenty of kids who have a chance to do things at the next level. I live in football. I have no idea about some of the other sports. So if I'm talking on my ass on some of the other sports, I apologize. But when it comes to football, and now you're seeing it even with baseball, where you get some of these guys, they're encouraging people not to play high school baseball. Play on the travel teams. Better competition. You're not even playing during the springtime. Why even? Yeah. Why sit around, it rain, not play high school
so
baseball
sad.
When you can just come inside the facility, train, and then we'll make up all those games with 90 games during the summer? They're telling people this. It's true. Got anything else?
That's it.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.